Amen. Now, something special will be released this evening. I know you don't understand me, but something special will be released this evening. Now, in preparation for that special thing, ask God to give you the grace to receive it. I'd like you to pray. To tap into things that God is making available so that we can stay ahead of the devil. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We'll do Bible study for a few minutes. Thank you. Hallelujah. Now, it would help me ask them there if they are recording what I'm preaching. I want it recorded. God bless you. All right. While in Lagos, is there a feedback there? Are they recording? All right. While in Lagos, I was wondering why many of God's people were not blessed. Blessed in every practical sense of the word blessed. Blessed in financial capacity. Blessed in the fruit of your body. Blessed in every ramification whatsoever. Today is what day of the week, please? Sorry, I am a being of eternity, so many times I make do without having to know. Alright, so tomorrow I will still be teaching. Since today is Tuesday, so I want to show you, you need to be blessed, actually. You need to walk in the blessings of God. It's God's will for you to walk in His blessings. And I need to show you how to begin to tap into God's blessings. I think it's time for us to talk about those matters. I refrained from it for many years, and I want to begin to share on those matters so that we can walk into it. The reason why I'm sharing it now is because it's the season for us to be blessed. Hallelujah. Amen. Reverend Hughes, it's time to be blessed now. Amen. Okay, let's do Matthew chapter 7 quickly. For every spiritual thrust, adventure that you embark upon, there must be a springboard from whence you are deriving your sustainability. There are several essential lines of revelation that we need to explore as an anchor for prosperity, for blessings, and for sustainability. Now those are the lines I want to trust God to unveil so that we can have a well-rounded perspective when talking about the issues of the blessings of God. Matthew chapter 7 from verse 7. It says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Why? Because in verse 8 it says, for everyone that asketh receiveth. Now listen to me. Are you with me? Now the time is Fine. 6:25. This business I want to do will take me to 8:00. Okay, so I'm saying it beforehand so that you'll be aware. To take me to, that is, we'll introduce it perfectly, adequately by 8 p.m. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I will continue tomorrow. It's a season for God's people to be blessed.
Amen.
It is a season. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing. So it will take me some time to craft this passage. It says, ask. And ye shall, what? It says, seek. And ye shall find. It says, knock. And it shall be opened unto you. Why? For everyone. So it's explaining the basis upon which asking and receiving is possible. Are you with me? He said, for everyone, oh my, that asketh, receiveth. That means spiritually, there is a provision for petition. Jesus is establishing the possibility of us to secure answers to prayers on several realities that are captured within the framework of spirit provisions. Are you with me? Oh my. Did you get that? There are provisions that are readily available in the spirit. Now Jesus is teaching us how to take advantage of these provisions. Say, for everyone that asketh, there is a potential, there is a possibility for you to receive. But the protocol that is required in order to engage those dimensions of possibilities require that you ask. Now, that's a good one. All right, so let's get back to the reading. It says what? For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And for he that seeketh, findeth. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Then, in order for God to give us further insight into these provisions and possibilities that abound, Jesus, the object teacher, decided to create a scenario. A scenario that is expected to be supportive in revealing to us the provisions that abound spiritually and what we need to do to engage and to exploit them. So he concocted a scenario. Are you with me? This is Jesus, the object teacher. And I need you to understand that all of this is tied to ask and ye shall what?
Receive.
Seek, and ye shall what? Find. Knock, and it shall be open. Now, why is Jesus laboring so much? To make us understand the provisions available in the spirit as touching several spiritual activities that have the capacity for profit. Why? In so much that he needs to create a scenario. This is one of the matters that Jesus will have us understand accurately, how to apply its performance rating and the potentials that it carries. And because of that, he had to create a scenario in his teaching to facilitate our understanding of the exploitation of these possibilities. This was the scenario that he created. Now, in the scenario that Jesus creates here, the parameters upon which that possibility finds expression were clearly defined in the scenario. All right, let's do it. Verse 9. He said, "Or what man is there of you?" Now, who are we referring to now? Man. Please, if your Bible is not borrowed, and it's, I recommend you underline man. Let's get the indices of the scenario. He said, "Or what man is there of you whom his son asks bread?" You can underline son too, because that man is not just a man in the secretariat in government house. There is a relationship that binds that the petitioner to the man. So in this context, we are seeing that Jesus created a scenario. The scenario that establishes a relationship between the one that is making the petition and the one from whom is requiring a response. The scenario Jesus paints here looks to me like a father-son scenario. Is that true? Hallelujah. He said, what man? You just think of man in a general context, but he breaks it down. What man? So this man in this context is actually a father. So he said, or what man is there of you whom, if his son asks bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks fish, will give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? In this scenario, there is a contrast and a comparison. Jesus contrasts. Hallelujah. Wow, that's great. I was wondering. Amen. Jesus contrasts the average man in the light of benevolence to our Heavenly Father. If you take the best man and put him side by side God the Father, the best man on earth, that man, compared to God the Father, will be evil. In comparison to God the Father, the inference of that comparison will reveal obviously that every man whatsoever, compared to the Father, is evil. Meanwhile, Jesus said that if, even though we are evil, we, by nature, will give good gifts to our children. Then he uses a comparative word. He says, how much more? Now that comparative word reveals that God will much more do than your earthly father will do. And all of this explanation is tied to ask and you shall receive. Jesus was trying to make us understand the relationship that we have with the one we are asking from. Now, sometimes your prayers are not effective because you are not in a practical know of the relationship that you have with the one from whom you ask. So Jesus wanted to arm us with some insight of the context, insight of the scenario. And on the strength of his exposition, he's trying to make us understand that our petition is going before one that is a relative to us, one that is a father to us. I want to show you the difference between God as Father and God as God. Now, most believers relate to God as God. I will show you the consequence. You see, 90% of the reasons why believers do not walk in the blessings of God is because they relate to God as God. They don't relate to God as Father. Now, if God permits, or time will not permit, even if God permits, I would have done some practical in this matter. I would have talked to my Father. Now, it will not be my Father moving me to do something. I will pray to him. I say, this is what I want concerning this person. And then you will see God as Father at work. But obviously, the time will not permit that. Now listen. Jesus shows us the context. Reveals to us that the one from whom we petition is a father to us. That is what his scenario that he created to elaborate the technique of asking and receiving is established upon. That anytime you come into petitioning, anytime you come into requesting, you have actually created a link between a father and a son. And the Bible says that even though by nature we are evil, but for redemption, by nature we are evil. In our fallen state, you will find that because a man exercises the role of father over somebody, even though by nature is evil, he will want to give good gifts unto his children because of the responsibilities that are attached to fatherhood. Not because the person is a good guy, but fatherhood in itself confers upon a father a responsibility to his son. And based on the bondage of responsibility, even an evil man is likely to give good gifts unto his children. But Jesus is saying that how much more? Now, when the how much more came into that particular progression of revelation, it actually revealed a common ground of comparison. That if this is the capacity of fallen people, they give good gifts unto their children, even though they are by nature evil. How much more in a greater, more excellent, and more perfect context will our Heavenly Father give good gifts to them that ask Him? Hallelujah. That means the perspective of God on this issue goes over and above that which the best of men can ever do. Hallelujah. We're talking about blessing, walking in practical blessings. Walking in practical blessings cannot be dissociated from a walking revelation of God as Father. You see, one thing we must understand is that the scriptures reveal that a father that cannot provide for his household in conduct has revealed himself to be worse than an infidel. So when we collide upon the revelation of God as Father, God will not even bring himself to that lowly position of functioning in the capacity of a normal man in this context, because he will much more do that which evil men find it possible to do. He will much more do to you. Are you with me? Now, so we need to put some things in perspective. Now, many times we'll come before God, you are not coming with an ingrained revelation of God as Father. Because of that, the much more that God does over and above that which the best of men can do is not available to you, because you came on a ground that was devoid of the accurate insight about the context that you are engaging. How much more? The first revelation that we need to pray that God will give us in this meeting is that God will impregnate us with an understanding of Him as our Father. Yes, that is going to make you understand that God is the one that is saddled with the responsibility for your sustenance. God is responsible for your upkeep. I see a lot of people struggling. When you are struggling without a working understanding of God as your Father, you'll be trying to do your Father's work. And it's quite grievous for a man to attempt to do the work of divinity. You will engage in frustration. You say, how much more? Have you read your Bible? Ephesians 3:20, I guess. He says, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly. He's telling you those are the measures that He will do much more than a normal fallen man that has a propensity to do good to his child just because he's under the bondage of fatherly responsibility. Now, those are the measures. He will do what? Exceedingly. He will do what? Abundantly. He will do what? Above. Now, exceedingly, abundantly, and above. That's God's way. That's God's way. And that way is affordable. That way is available if you have captured the revelation of God as Father. Now, I need to run a contrast quickly and a comparison that I believe will help our understanding of the subject matter. Come with me. You see, if, for instance, maybe in a particular family, the father of the family has an affair with a lady outside, and somehow the product of that affair was a child, a male child at that. And especially in cases where that child is the very likeness of the father, such that you don't need a phytochemical screening to stumble upon who is responsible. Amen. And somewhere along the line, maybe because of the understanding between the father and the legitimate mother, they decide to bring this child in. There is a psychology that overwhelms this child. Hallelujah. He, first of all, sees himself like a second-class citizen. Like somebody that is not really accepted in the environment, but is just accommodated because that may be the right thing to do. He kind of understands that his being in the house may not have been motivated by any form of love at all. Maybe just duty. I hope you know there's a difference between duty and love. And so he doesn't want to get into the way. He's just barely surviving because he's been incorporated into the system. It's more of a venture of duty than it is of affection. So he lives under that cloud of insecurity, that cloud of inferiority, and the cloud. There's no law that banishes him, actually, but there's a psychology that has besieged him, and he dwells within the confines of this psychology, such that he finds it difficult to approach his father. They are very alike. In fact, he's a very semblance of his dad. He looks more like him, much more than the other children. But he finds it difficult to engage his father when there is a need, because there is no confidence in his heart. Now, Jesus is trying to bring us to an understanding that as long as you have not been exposed to the revelation of God as Father, you're asking, your seeking and your knocking will be affected. The resultant effect of your asking is predicated on the working relationship and the ingrained understanding of God as Father. Walking in largeness, walking in blessings, walking in grace is tied to this foundation. Now, come with me. Come with me. Let's stretch it. Let's stretch it further. In the book of Matthew chapter 6, just flip one page backward. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus somehow was led. Did I say led? He was constrained to teach and to do a tutorial lecture on prayer. In Matthew chapter 6 verse 9, Jesus said, "In this manner pray ye." I hope you know. Huh? Hallelujah. I hope you know when Jesus said, "After this manner pray ye," did not mean that Jesus said, "Pray this prayer." No, there's a difference between "after this manner pray,"